everyone else if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Now, I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about this week, and I was kind of having a hard time figuring it out, to be honest with you. I had a lot of stuff kicking around in my head. I haven't been at home. Got work's been all crazy because my boss has been out. And it's been really hard to figure out what on earth to talk about. And Victor, you hit it the nail on the head this morning with your prayer request. Pray for everybody, for all the things. Because in reality, if this doesn't seem like to everyone else, like everyone is going through some stuff right now, I don't know what to say to you. You know, it's funny because, you know, as a church family, we see each other go through times, right, that are difficult. And it kind of comes in different waves to different people. And it kind of feels like right now it's everybody all at once. And it makes it hard. Because the people we normally lean upon, because maybe for them it's not going so bad and they can encourage us, and they're right down there with us, aren't they? Issues with jobs, issues with housing, issues with kids and school and our crazy government and everything. It's all the things at once, it feels like, doesn't it? And so, trying to figure out what to talk about, I was like, you know, with the early church, what happened with the early church? They went through this, didn't they? Where they didn't have a house, where they were kicked out, and they were all on their own. That's why when Peter writes, in verse 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. They're not strangers. These are people that are church family with each other. But they've been scattered about. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. It's all over the place, isn't it? All across what we now know as Greece and Turkey. Churches, these people have been scattered abroad. Issues with work, issues with their house, issues dealing with the government, issues dealing with what feels like persecution. We have it minor compared to that, don't we? But it feels like it, right? It's like we're in the pressure cooker and that pressure is just going. You know, I was thinking about it because the whole idea of what I want to talk about today is when we're in times where we feel like it's persecution, maybe not. Maybe it's not persecution, but it feels like we're being persecuted. It's when we have to really step back and lean on our faith. It's hard. These are the times when it's hard to step back, to lean on our faith, and to look at it from a God point of view. Look at this and go, now wait a minute. Even though everything around me feels like it's fallen down, even though I can't seem to find my way, even though I can't see God's hand in these things. Have we been through things like that before? Who hasn't felt like the world's falling apart on you before? And when we look back on those, when we look back on those instances and those times, do we see God's hand moving? Now, looking back at it, do we see what God was doing in our lives? Does it not normally end in a blessing? And more often than not in a blessing, not just commensurate to the suffering, but so much better. And then we faced it again, and the whole world seems to have fallen down around us. And we look at it, and it's so easy. It's so easy to go, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know what you're putting me through this for. Right? And we lose our way. You know, God tells us again and again. He goes, look at the past as evidence. How many times How many times does he have to drag us through the mud before he gets us up on the other side? That we finally, we come to the mud and we go, okay, we're going to get through this mud. It's going to be okay. It's real easy to forget that he's going to get us there. You know, continue on. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The first thing he does is he reminds them their position with God. God has chosen them. Now, let's not get sideways with it. God has chosen the world, hasn't he? But these are the people that have chosen God back. And in doing so, God has said that they're going to spend the rest of eternity with him. Who here is one of the part of that? We should all be part of that. When it gets hard, the first thing we should look to comfort is go, you know what? This world, is this world going to be glorious? At times it can feel like it, right? But is this world also going to be a suffering? Yeah. It definitely is. Are we promised that we're not going to have trials and tribulations? No, anything but, right? He says, no, it's going to be really hard for you. And then we get to the parts that are really hard, and all of us sit there and go, well, God, why is it so hard for me? I'm trying to follow you. Because we're so much better than everyone else, right? No, I'm trying to follow you, God. And yet all these people that they, by their fruit, boy, I think they're a sinner. They're not trying to follow you from anything I can see. And look at how blessed their life appears to be. We try to compare ourselves to other people. And we try to use this as justification to God. You know, it's pretty funny when Job was going through what he was going through. His friends told him that. They were arguing with him about how it's fruitless. And Job, where he's lost his whole family, except for his wife, who is such a lovely person, he's lost everything he owns. He's to the point where he's sitting in ashes for over a week. He has boils head to toe, where he's scraping them off with a shard of pottery. Yeah, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? It just sounds like it's such a happy time. And even he's telling these people who are telling his very wife, tell him, curse God and die. He says, no, God gives it to me and he takes it away. This is all his. How easy is it for us to lose our perspective? Right? We have been privileged enough to be allowed a relationship with him. Let's not forget that. That first and foremost, we can turn to him. And not only can we turn to him and say, God, life's pretty hard right now. He came to earth. No? Does he know what it is to go through things that are hard? So he actually can have compassion for us because he's been there. Maybe not the exact situation, but in a similar enough one that he knows. He can sit there and go, yeah, what you're going through is hard. He says, blessed be God, the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. I talked about mercy last week a little bit. That God not giving us what we deserve. Because what do we really deserve? We don't deserve anything, right? We deserve for him to go, well, you're a sinner, and so you're going to be no part of me. It doesn't matter how hard this life is, does it? And how is it kept there? It's kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Through faith. Because right now, when the world's going wrong, it's easy to forget that we should have that faith, right? You know, I like to say that faith is like a muscle. You got to work it out so that way it's strong when you need it to be. You know what this is like right now? This is like if you go to the gym and you had the personal trainer and you're sitting there and you've done 500, what feels like 500,000 reps on something. Your arms feel like jello. And then he says, no, you got to do 10 more. What? Right? See, it's a struggle. This is the times that God's building our faith. We have to turn to him to exercise that. It's not an easy thing, is it? It says they're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How often do we want to sit there and ask God, just show me, God? We beg him to show us something. We beg him to give us some proof, right? When we beg him for proof, who gets an answer? Has anybody gotten that glimpse into actual heaven to see what your rewards are sitting there? No. Because if we had that, do we need faith? The one thing God really wants us to have is a lot of faith, to count on him. And the evidence he gives us is going through these times. Going through times when your life is an uncertainty. When struggling through the day is a reality. Because we can look back at the times in the past and go, no, he got me through there. And look at what he did with it. See, who would have what good is the story when there isn't a struggle? You know, you go to see like a movie and you pay to see let's go crazy and say a 2 hour long movie, because they don't make them very long anymore, it seems like, because you can't get your money's worth. But you go and pay for a 2 hour movie and the movie goes through the whole thing and it's just everything's all great. Did you feel like you got your money's worth? The story is in the struggle. The lesson is in the overcoming. See, he doesn't give us a life that's just, oh, it's easy peasy, we're just going to cruise along. Because if your life is easy and just cruising along and there's no problems, you sure that you're following him? Because he tells us we're going to have trials, doesn't he? And then we get surprised by him. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You feel like that's kind of hard? Let's put ourselves in these people's shoes that are receiving this letter. They've lost their home. They've lost their job. Most of them have lost any sort of wealth they ever had for their faith in the Lord. They're away from their family. They're away from their friends. And they're just trying to scrape by. We're not quite there yet. I can say that because I'm pretty sure everyone in the church, no one's there yet. And he's telling them to rejoice because of this. Are we rejoicing in our sorrows? Aren't we called to? It's rough. It's a rough thing. And I say this, it's rough for me too. I'm not trying to come at this like I'm so great because I can do this. No, I struggle with it too. That's why we need to talk about it. He goes, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Boy, are there. You know, and it's as easy as when you go through these hard times to sit there and turn to the world for a solution. Is that what we're supposed to do? But boy, are we tempted to, aren't we? It's tempting to turn to the comforts of an old sin, to turn to the comforts of a new sin, to turn to the comforts of the world itself, and to turn away from laying it all at God's feet. The temptations are real, aren't they? He continues on. That the trial of your faith. Now that trial, that's the crucible that he talks about. That, you know, when we try the precious metals that we have, our gold and our silver, how do we try it? We put it in a crucible and we set it on fire and we cook it so hot that it melts down so that the little bits that aren't pure in it can get burnt off. You think that's what it's like to get our faith tried? He says we're going to be tested as though by fire. When our faith is in the crucible, are we going to let everything burn up? What's going to remain? It's real easy to sit there and go, yep, I have all this faith. I have all this faith. God's so great. And then you go through a hard time and go, I don't know what God's doing to me. Right? That's the temptation, isn't it? The temptation is to be like Job's wife, to take her advice and to curse God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Right? Because we're important, aren't we? You know what I think of when we do that? We're the Karens to God. Do you know who I am? Oh, I know who you are. Right? That's who we are to God when we're doing that. We're telling him, do you know who I am? Does he know who we are? Down to the very hairs on your head, right? He knows who we are. And we think we have any standing to complain? That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Do you believe that? Would you trade in all your gold for a little more faith? It sounds crazy, doesn't it? Think about that. Think about how many people do you know that are professed Christians that if you said you have to give up all your riches and God will give you a little more faith. How many of them are going to think that's a great deal? A lot of them are going to struggle with that, aren't they? That temptation of the world. You know, when the comforts of a long employment are looking you in the eyes as they're going away, is it easy to say, yep, we're going to get rid of that and we're going to get a little more faith out of the deal? No, it's not. It's not easy. You know, when it comes to the point where the very home you live in, you can't live in it. Is it easy to look at that and go, God's going to give me some more faith out of this? He's working my faith out on me. When family members are sick, possibly dying, is it easy to look at that and go, you know what? God's going to give me some more faith out of this. I just got to lean on him. No, it's not. And yet that's what we have to do. He doesn't call us to an easy walk with him, does he? Where's the easy walk? It's the broad and the wide gate, right? And go right on in. That's the path to what? The path of destruction. The path to God is narrow and complicated, isn't it? And that's where he calls us to. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds like a cool time, doesn't it? We have to go through these times to get there. Who wants us? Who wants to stand before Jesus when he shows up and he sees our faith as something glorious? Who wants to be that person? I do. You know what it takes? That crucible of our faith, where it's melted down and all the impurities are burned off. It's not an easy thing. You don't earn your way into heaven. We've talked about this a number of times. But boy, do you earn heaven glory before the Lord, don't you? Whom having not seen. And this is the big part of it. This is what makes it faith. Because I don't know about you, but I have not seen Jesus Christ stand right before me to where I could shake his hand. I'd like to. But I haven't seen it. I don't think any of us have. Because if you have and you ain't told me, I'm going to be pretty upset with you. Because I want to know. Whom having not seen, ye love. That's faith. Isn't it? Because we don't have physical proof. And yet we were called to love him anyway. And how are we called to love him? Well, he said, more than your mother, more than your brother, more than your sister, more than your parents, more than your spouse, more than your children. And then the big one, which we all try to get away with, more than yourself. That's what we're called to love him like. That's where there is no trial, is when we can truly say we love him more than every single thing in our existence. That's what he's working us towards. That's not easy, is it? In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, this is the rejoicing in our sorrows. These are people in sorrow. And he's telling them, now is when you need to be rejoicing. And that it's glorious. That we rejoice with joy unspeakable. That we are so happy with our relationship with God, we can't even express it. Do we find ourselves there? When times are rough, when things are hard, when your back's against the wall and it's the end of the game and the scoreboard looks impossible, do we look at God and say, man, I love God. I just can't even express how happy I am with you for putting me in this. It sounds fun. No, it's okay. Go ahead. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? That's this dirt mind. That's that dirt brain. Because to the human mind, that makes no sense at all, doesn't it? That we be thankful to go through trials. It doesn't make any sense. If someone told you they were so happy they went through the most horrific thing in their life, what are you going to say to them? You need to go get some help, right? You know, there's some nice people with a nice coat that'll help you give yourself a hug when they put you in this room with pillows all over the wall, because you might need to go somewhere and get talked to. Not again. I needed that, Steve. Thanks. But that's what we're called to do. To be able to look at the worst thing that happens in your life and then be thankful that it happened. That's rough. That's faith. That's being able to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That's the whole point of it, isn't it? Yes, the point is to serve him. But if his end of the bargain isn't kept, there is no point in it. It all goes back to if he didn't come back, there's no reason for us to come back. He says, this is what it takes. This is what we've been called to do. This is what, and I guarantee you, most of us didn't even realize it when we asked him. When we asked him to save us, when we asked him to let us have a relationship with him, this is what it means. Is that when it's so hard that it's hard to see your way through a day, that we just look to him and he provides a path. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. People that God actually spoke to and through tried to figure this out. That's how hard this is to understand. You know, we try to act like it's not a big deal to understand salvation, but boy, is it. So much so that the very mouthpieces of God couldn't figure it out. They'd spent their entire life trying to understand it. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Can we even understand, can we fathom the amount of love, the amount of mercy and grace to come from the Father to save us from ourselves? And then not only to save us from ourselves, but then to guide us through this life. Because are our struggles new? No. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, is there? And that's back in his time. You know, as much as things change, what happens? They stay the same. As much as we might think, oh man, I'm facing not having a job. Is anyone before you ever face not having a job? Yeah. Much as the people before, as much as we might face, man, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a house. Is there people before us that have faced not having a house? As much as we might worry about, I don't know what they're trying to do with my children. There are people before us that have had to worry about the same or worse. You see, none of this is new. You know, all these trials, all these hardships, all these perceived evils, you know, any stumbling block that's thrown before us, it comes from being in a corrupted world. And I'll tell you what, that grand corrupter, he only has a few actual tools in his toolbox. But boy, he uses them in a myriad of ways, doesn't he? And it's hard when that happens. Because, man, he'll use that screwdriver like a pry bar and like a hammer and like a wrench and 500 other things just to get into your life. Just to pull you away from looking at your Lord first. Because, boy, it's real easy to look at his creation and look at the thing that draws us away from him instead of looking at him. Let's not do that. He says, searching, and this is still talking about these prophets, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, realize that? The Holy Spirit was in these prophets. That was considered to be a huge, huge honor that the Lord was speaking through them. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in you, and I mean right now. How many of us forget that we have that honor? That he resides in us. That he's right there. So back to searching what manner of time that the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister these the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You think it's hard to understand? The angels don't get it. They don't have the dirt mind, and they don't get it. They don't understand why God could care so much about us. These prophets writing down the things that were to come. Imagine being one of them. Imagine saying that God is going to send his very son to live a human life, die as our salvation, as our hope, and then come back to confound everyone. Imagine writing that down and not being able to see it. Imagine having been there, watching it happen, having read your whole life that this was going to happen, and then you see it happening. And it being so incredible that you just can't even fathom. And then we try to have the faith to go, this is what has happened. And we struggle with it. It's already happened. We're not even looking to something that's coming. We're looking at what's already gone on. Well, it's like going through these struggles. We look at what we've gone through in the past and we go, yep, we're going to get through it today. We worry about, is God going to really save me? What has he done already? Is God really going to get us through these things? What has he done already? So much so that even the angels don't get it. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Boy, howdy. That gird up the loins. That's like tightening up your shoelaces, getting your boots on right, making sure your shirt's tucked in, get ready to go. Because you need to be ready. Are we ready? If he came back right now, would he find us sad? Would he find us questioning whether he was coming? Would he find us questioning whether he was going to help us? Would he find us even looking in his direction? Or is he going to find us looking at the shiny things of the world, being distracted? Is he going to find us questioning his existence? Is he going to find us questioning his love? How is he going to find us when he returns? Because I don't know about you, I don't know when that's happening. He says no man knows the day or the hour. Like to. You kind of want to be ready for it, right? If, when you have an important guest coming, you kind of want to make sure the house is clean. I don't know about you, my wife definitely does. Like, the house will be clean, and then the house will get cleaned again because someone's coming over. You know? You want to make sure that you're not wearing your shirt that's got stains and holes all over it because someone important's actually coming by. You know? Maybe even have, like, socks and shoes on. Not just sitting there with your toe hanging out the hole in your sock, you know. Is he going to find us like that? Spiritually, is he going to find us ready to go? Or is he going to find us moping about, not strong in our faith? See, that's the big thing we've got to keep in mind when we're going through these hard times is, guess what? Is there going to be people going through hard times when the Lord shows up? Could it be us? Do we want him to find us moping about this existence? No. He tells us that even in these hard times, we have to rejoice with this joy unspeakable. You got it? Yeah, I bet. He says, be sober, be of a calm mind, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, we have to keep ourselves together. That's not an easy thing, is it? You know, when things go sideways and everything goes crazy, it's real easy to just let your mind go nuts, right? To let all sorts of thoughts come in, to overreact, to overcorrect, like the car going off the road, and you try to turn back on. You can overcorrect and get right into the incoming traffic, right? How many times do we do that in our mind when our mind's not right? Try to overcorrect it. We run right into headfirst traffic with the sin because we didn't stay in our lane. But we need to be doing. We need to get ourselves back in our lane. We need to get back on track, and we need to be heading towards our destination, which is Him. I encourage everyone, let's get there. If you feel yourself coming off the track, man, straighten yourselves up. If you can't do it on your own, lean on your brother, lean on your sister. I don't just mean your family. That's what the church family is for, to lean on each other. That's the whole point of it. Let's do so. Let's lift each other up all at the same time. Let's have a rising tide lift all our ships. If you don't know what I'm talking about, If you're hearing me talk about all this stuff, talking about our hope in heaven, and you're not knowing what I'm speaking about, boy, you can get there. Because we all have a destination. And our appointed destination doesn't start off as heaven. It starts off as hell. That's what we all earned, what we all deserve. The wages of sin is death, what we've earned. Separation from God. But He gives us a hope, because like I said, He died, but He came back, so He can bring us back. He's going to bring us there. We got to put our faith in Him. If you haven't placed your faith in Him, I beg you to do so today. You can come up and talk to me about it after service if you don't know what's going on. But if you place your faith in Him, if you trust in Him to save you from yourself, to save you from your sin, can we repent of what that is? Can we follow after Him? He's going to be faithful to us. And He's going to stand in judgment, stand in front of us and say, nope, they're with me, and they're coming in. If you haven't had that conversation with your Lord, I beg you to do it today. That's all I got for today. I'm going to do this prayer, and then we're going to have a little bit of a break before we do Sunday school.
Dear Lord,
Lord, we thank You for today. Whether today is easy, whether today is hard, whether today brings joy, whether today brings sorrow, we thank You for today, Lord, because today is a gift. Lord, we pray that You would lift all of us up, that You would be that rising tide to our faith that would lift us all up. But Lord, You would show us how to minister unto each other, how to minister unto our families, that, Lord, You would give us peace, and You would help us to find joy, even in the depths of sorrow. Lord, we know that You are faithful. We know that You are love. And Lord, we ask that You just continue to bless us and help us to see Your path through each and every one of our days. Lord, we thank You and we honor You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.